Ladies and gentlemen, I have a grave announcement to make. Incredible as it may seem, both the observations of science and the evidence of our eyes lead to the inescapable assumption that those strange beings who landed in the Jersey farmlands tonight are the vanguard of an invading army from the planet Mars.
It appears to be a small, cylindrical object.
An unidentified object has been spotted over the skies.
A Pentagon report is detailing a dramatic increase in UFO sightings. Many of them are explained as being drones, birds, or weather events, but about half of them remain unexplained.
Puzzle in the sky that a lot of people say is still unsolved. The 25th anniversary of the Phoenix Lights, a formation of lights spotted in the night sky by thousands of people here in Arizona and then throughout the Southwest.
The U.S. defense officials sent F-35 fighter jets up to try to figure out what this object was that was flying around near Alaska. Those pilots, we have learned, have given very conflicting accounts of what they actually experienced, with some pilots saying that the object interfered with the plane's sensors, other pilots saying that when they looked at the object, they could identify no identifiable propulsion system, and they did not know how it was actually staying in the air, cruising at that altitude of about 40,000 feet.
This morning, the search is on for the wreckage of an unidentified object the U.S. military shot out of the sky above Alaska. Pentagon and White House officials admitting the order to shoot it down came before they knew much about it, like where it was from or what it was capable of.
We do not know who owns it, whether it's state-owned or corporate-owned or privately-owned. We just don't know.
One senior official describing it as cylindrical and silverish-gray.
Another object spotted by NORAD over Canada.
And tonight, NORAD has confirmed that a temporary flight restriction was put in place over Montana tonight after radar detected some sort of anomaly.
The U.S. military shot down another unidentified object, this time over Lake Huron. It's the fourth one to have been downed after entering North American airspace in just the past 2 weeks.
Perhaps we need some outside universal threat to make us recognize this common bond. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world.
You are listening to The Secret Teachings Radio. I'm your host, Ryan Gable. Jeremy Scott is our guest this evening. Jeremy said something right before the break that got me thinking. He said, a lot of these reports are contradictory. And that made me think of a little idea, a little theory, kind of sort of a theory that I have. I was thinking back to Foo Fighters and ghost rockets of World War II, the big balls of luminous substance or etheric cigar-shaped illusions. Of course, the February 1942 incursion over Los Angeles, where this object was, well, they couldn't shoot it down. It was almost etheric. All these shells exploded around it, shrapnel explosions, and nothing harmed it, almost as if they just passed right through it. And the same thing in 1943, long before Kenneth Arnold, the U.S. Army Air Force reported that disks were seen that were sort of translucent. And a military craft actually flew through the disks, made contact with them, and it did no damage to the plane and presumably the craft, which then disappeared. And there's actually a military record of this that's in my book, The Technological Elixir. And that made me think, you know, when I've been discussing these things on and off on the show, Jeremy, Carl Jung once said he believed that the UFO subject was 99% psychic product. In other words, that we know that these things are there. We're not sure what they are. He said it's kind of strange that there are physical characteristics to them. But he believed, and I think Jung was onto something, that these are a psychic phenomenon. And that's why I think also people can look at the same exact thing at the same exact time, look at the same evidence over decades and see not just like slight variations, but totally different things, just like all those objects that were shot down around the time of the Super Bowl. Pilots had different interactions with them. It's almost as if there's something, I'm not saying we're completely manifesting them, but it's almost as if there's something psychic or something parabnormal about these things, that they might be physical, but they also might be a psychic manifestation. You have thoughts on that? I know it's a weird take, but just curious what you think.
That it is the individual who was the common denominator here, I guess.
Yeah, well, sort of, yes. I guess it's kind of like, the observer effect in physics. We affect what we observe.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, there could be something, you know, to it. I've heard of people who say that they can make these things manifest. I know I just recently finished a book about the Betty and Barney Hill abduction. Actually, Kathleen Martin's captured the 60th anniversary of that. I just went back and read that. And one of the things that she was talking about in that book is that Betty seemingly was able to get these objects to appear to her.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I guess it's possible. You know, I do tend to think that some of this phenomena, the parabnormal, as you said, is connected. And so maybe there could be a common thread here, and maybe it is of the mind. I mean, we know poltergeist activity seems to be created of the mind.
Yes.
Some people see ghosts, others don't. Some people run into Bigfoot, others don't. So I mean, we could be onto something here.
Same thing with DMT. I think it's estimated about 2% of the population produce additional DMT, and that of course leads to odd experiences with creatures that are half human, half animal, with little creatures that we call fairies or gray aliens. And that's really not really a psychic phenomenon, but that's, you know, it's the mind, it's chemicals in the brain and the body interacting with those chemicals and consciousness kind of shifting to other dimensions or other points of reality. Yeah, I mean, just my idea, my thought is just that this is a lot more than just government cover up or a lot more than government disinformation. It's a lot more than just physical objects. I think a lot of this is beyond perhaps our ability to even attempt to understand it. Even in 2023, we might be still too
primitive.
Yeah, why
can't we just say that?
No, just exactly. Say that, then. Yes, exactly. Why can't we just say that? That's a curious thing, isn't it?
Absolutely curious. Hey, I wanted to go back to what you were talking about, the conflicting statements, because if you'll allow me to play these two sound bites here for your audience from Dr. Sean Kirkpatrick, just about a month and a half apart, he says two very different things. This first one is from the NASA meeting last week.
Only a very small percentage of UAP reports display signatures that could reasonably be described as anomalous.
Okay, let's hear that one more time.
Only a very small percentage of UAP reports display signatures that could reasonably be described as anomalous.
Okay, got it? Follow along?
Yes,
okay,
yes.
Now let's rewind it back to April and the briefing before Congress.
Arrow has found no credible evidence thus far of extraterrestrial activity, off-world technology, or objects that defy the known laws of physics.
Because in a report, as I mentioned just a month before that, here he is talking with Avi Loeb about the possibility that these objects are known to defy the laws of physics. And then he tells you one time, only a small percentage of these could be described as anomalous. But then he says half of the 650, which we now know is 800, His words, anomalous, interesting value. So half of the 650 are of anomalous, interesting value. That's 325. But then he tells you only a small percentage are anomalous. So how can half of these be anomalous, but only a small percentage be anomalous?
So that's a fantastic point. Yes. So what do you think that is? Because I completely agree with you. I've noticed that inconsistency.
They think we're stupid.
You think it's intentional?
They think we're not paying attention.
So you think it's an intentional form of what would it be, disinformation, or is it maybe Absolutely. It's just maybe it's just sloppiness? Can't be sloppiness, though.
I think it's intentional. It could be intentional sloppiness.
Could be intentional sloppiness. Yeah.
Maybe they just make it up. Maybe they don't even have 800.
That's another good point. And of course, those are cherry picked anyway. Go back to Blue Book and what they say, 90 something percent they can identify. The other 10%, let's not focus on those. We'll put those in the back shelf. We don't know what they are. And that's kind of maybe what they're doing today. I mean, that's actually what, you know, about the Robertson panel report. And that report actually said to focus on cases, I could actually pull it and read you the direct quote, focus on cases that are really hard to identify at first. And then once you've been able to get the public or get the government, et cetera, you know, people looking at these things, because this was the CIA and some other groups, then you say, oh, well, we actually figured it out. It's not a UFO. It's actually this or that. So it makes complex things look really simple to understand. That was all part of the official attempt to dis and misinform the public on the subject of UFOs.
Let's not forget about the Condon report, which had issued their closing statement before they had even begin the investigation, and even said,
right.
But we're not supposed to tell you that yet.
Yes.
So basically, you know, the verdict's in. They already have their minds made up. It's not an honest investigation.
No, it's not. And I don't believe Elizondo is telling the truth. I don't believe this new guy, Grush, is telling the truth. I think something's being pulled over on us. And I get really tired of hearing about the Project Blue Book, or excuse me, not Blue Book, Blue Beam stuff, the Project Blue Beam, because that's just a theory. It's not necessarily a real thing, and not a real thing at all. But, you know, that, I guess it's a potential thing that could be done by the military with enough technology. But I think it doesn't have to be that complicated. I think the idea of an alien threat is essentially what we're witnessing. We're witnessing a slow tiptoe into open acknowledgement that, yeah, there's something there, but they won't say it's alien. They don't say it's extraterrestrial. They don't give you any idea of what it is. It's just there. And it might be, you know, potentially threatening. I heard somebody say that recently. It might have even been the Grush guy, something about how these things might be potentially harmful, or that the beings might be hostile. And I think that's kind of along the Carol Rosen route, taking us to believe collectively that there's a potential threat, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's not a real thing. I know, there's just all kinds of possibilities.
Leslie Kane, here's
the journalist.
What I have to say about that. By the way, her and Ralph Blumenthal posted identical messages on their social media right about the same time that story went live on The Debrief, which was right around the same time that News Nation put their first, I think, teaser video out there that they were going to have a whistleblower on their newscast that night. So it's not clear what this pressure is that they felt, although I have a feeling it had to do that they were scooped, that they didn't get the exclusive. They may have gotten some of the information, but didn't get it all. Clearly, as Leslie has even indicated, she didn't get all the information. So they apparently felt pressured by News Nation that they had to get this out there. You know what, for clicks?
Yeah, that's a big question. That's an important question. Go ahead.
And the fact that she wouldn't ask the question about aliens, I believe she's done an update with The Debrief, which is where that article was published, because apparently they had gone to mainstream. I think it was the New York Post, and the New York Post, you know, probably whatever you want to say about them, I'm sure they have some journalism ethics that go, wait, we read your piece and you don't cite a single source of evidence. We're not going to publish this.
Yes.
So they had to fall back to The Debrief, which I'm not saying whether The Debrief is a legitimate news organization or not. I have no way to come to an opinion on that either way. But the fact of the matter is, the story had to get out. They felt pressured, so they went with The Debrief, but they wouldn't ask the question. Now, when I do shows about UFOs, I don't just talk about these craft and these lights in the sky. We have to go beyond that. We have to go, okay, if these things are in the sky and they apparently defy the laws of physics, how are they doing so? Do they have, like, pilots of some sort on board? Are these our own craft? Are they human pilots? Are they pilots from another species? But she has since said that she wouldn't have reported on that, even if she had asked the question, are aliens behind some of these UFOs that have crashed? So you're telling me that if she had been told such information, she would have just refused to report on it? She would exclude some of the claims that Mr. Grush made, you know, based on personal preference? Or is the fact that, you know, you can't prove something like that reason enough for her not to go there? But I say there's really no reason to believe what Mr. Grush is saying. I mean, if we're saying we have to believe him based on his background, I say okay with a question mark, but we've been lied to before. We know there are, you know, as you talk about in your program tonight about the Mirage Men, about these counterintelligence operations, you know, this primarily with private citizens. But it can be done with military members, because David Grush is now a private citizen, just like you and I.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, I don't know how I feel about the Bob Lazar story. A lot of stuff has come out about him, the prostitution ring and all that. But, you know, Bob Lazar, believe him or not, and I lean in the direction of not believing all of his stuff, he did say something that was really curious that stood out to me. I mentioned this on the show last night. This is an Alien Agenda by Jim Mars. Rest in peace, Jim Mars. And Bob Lazar said this. Jim Mars is quoting him. Lazar went to, he was at, you know, the S4 facility, whether that's real or not. Just let's listen to the story. And he says that he's walking down the hall and he's looking into a, he looked into a room and he saw this little creature, like a little, like kind of more probably like a gray alien talking to these two men. So he said this, quote, "They play so many mind games there. Maybe they stuck a doll in front of these guys and made me walk by it and look at it just to see what my reaction would be. But when we did turn around to do something and walk back, it was gone. And the two guys were gone. So I don't know what I saw." And that just made me think of all these military officials, believe them or not, name them by name or not, who say they've seen things first, second, usually second, third, fourth hand, or they've heard stories second, third, fourth hand. It just kind of reminds me of that. Just because you're in the military doesn't mean you know anything. Even if you're in intelligence, doesn't mean you know anything. You could just be a patsy, if you will, or you could truly believe what you've seen. Maybe you did see a UFO, whatever that might be, a flying disc, whatever. But you don't know if what you actually saw was what they wanted you to see or not. We don't know how deep, how rooted this deceptive tree is, where all the branches and where all the roots go. This is, again, this has been officially done since at least the 50s. Then you have Mirage Men. Those are just two things, the Robertson Panel Report, etc. The military's been pretty set, and Hollywood's been pretty set on making sure the public thinks that this is a giant joke. And that makes me think that it's more than just aliens. I think that's too simple. I think it's something more, more spiritual, more powerful than that, Jeremy.
Absolutely. I'm with you there, Ryan. I mean, it could be any or all of the above, I suppose. There's a couple of points that I wanted to make before we run out of time.
Please,
in,
please.
In regarding to Mr. Grush's story. I mean, there's a couple of things that I think could be easily done to give us some further insight, or at least to back up, if we care to even investigate the claims in which that have been made, is that seemingly if he did hand this information over to members of Congress, to the Inspector General, we perhaps would be able to get some sort of response through a Freedom of Information Act request that at least the documents exist. I wouldn't expect that they would release them if they're dealing with classified information and he's got a list or something and he hands these over because he gets them somehow. And then he's got a letter and he mentions all these classified documents. Yeah, they're not going to give us, you know, the letter with the list of classified documents. I get that. But at least they would be able to acknowledge whether they exist. So somebody out there amongst UFO Twitter, which seems to be a bunch of crybabies anymore these days, who just want to bitch and moan and whine and mudsling, and they don't want to work together. They don't want to collaborate. They all want to have the scoop. They all want to be first. They all want to have extraordinary claims, but nobody wants to work together to actually do the stuff. And, you know, doing the shows like I do, doing your shows, sorry, we don't have a lot of extra time to sit and do Freedom of Information Act requests.
Or
money. There are individuals, nod, nod, wink, wink, who seem to like to do all these Freedom of Information Act requests and base stories on them. Why don't you submit a request to find out once and for all if these documents exist that Mr. Grush has turned over? Mm-hmm. Number two, why doesn't anybody ask for the actual complaint? The document in or whatever had to be filed because Mr. Grush has apparently made a whistleblower complaint. Because now there's the law out there that says you can't retaliate against the people who come and bring this information forward. We also don't know how he was retaliated against. Was he threatened with demotion? Is that why he left the military? And as far as what more does he have to say about any of this, will we get any extra nuggets from the interview that they are planning to release, I believe, on Sunday? I don't know why they didn't release at all. Maybe they're just trying to prolong the inevitable, which is that I don't think we'll get much more. I think they just want some more eyeballs to kind of
like they're milking
this thing again.
They're trying to
milk a new audience, a weekend audience, you know.
Was that all that you have? I don't want to interrupt you because I know you did some research.
No, that was it.
Okay.
Somebody needs to file a FOIA request and we need to see the whistleblower complaint. And will he talk about either of those things in part two of the interview?
Or if anything he says, you know, pay attention to the words that he uses. If it, is it vague or is it specific? Is he actually giving you information that you don't already know? Is it something that we want to believe? That's really the big question. I do have that poster, Jeremy. I want to believe. Not sure how I even feel about that statement anymore, because, again, belief is faith and faith is dogma, and dogma can be used to control your perception of reality. And that's what a lot of this stuff is. It's perception management, perception control. That's what intelligence agencies are good at. That's what they were set up to do, mind control, literally, right after Roswell.
Well, yeah, they're a lot, in that sense, they're a lot smarter than we give them credit for.
Yes, they are. And there's some, you know, there's on the surface, there's some, you know, stupidity and ignorance and stuff that makes them look kind of silly. But no, they know exactly what they're doing. CIA, NSA, et cetera. I'm just curious to also get your take on, I try to bring up things on the show, obviously, that are very kind of fringe, even within fringe communities. You ever heard of the Memorandum 6751 from the Air Force? Do you know anything about that?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay, I will send it to you after the show. If anybody listening would like a copy of this, I can send it to them as well. It's just really quickly, Memorandum 6751. It was dated July 8th of 1947, and it's an Air Force document. I believe this is Air Force San Diego, California. So it'd been U.S. Army Air Force. And it talks about how they knew that there were disks and that they were remote controlled, and that the beings inside of the disks, if there were crews, they're not coming from an extraterrestrial planet. They're coming from their excarnate. They says they're not excarnate Earth people. They come from their own world, but it's not an actual planet. It's a plane that they come from, and they actually describe it. This is, if this is disinformation, which it might be, this is very sophisticated disinfo, because they use words like locus or talus, which are it's the astral plane. They're talking about things that like Madame Blavatsky or, you know, Aleister Crowley would talk about. And this is the U.S. Army Air Force. So this stuff is more sophisticated than just telling some guy he's talking to aliens or listening to aliens on a computer. And this is in 1947. So that's just something else to look up. Jeremy Scott is our guest this evening. We have a few minutes left. Jeremy, anything else that you'd like to share with us? The floor is yours.
Ryan, I have so much to say. We could talk all night long, but I'll just, as time is of the essence here, I know we've only got a couple more minutes left. You know, we've got the Stephen Greer event that's coming up on Monday. It'll be interesting to see what he has to say. I know Stephen Greer isn't trusted by many. The one thing that I will say as far as that is concerned is, if you're interested, you know, watch it. It's important that we have whistleblowers a part of these conversations, but more than whistleblowers, I mean, we're talking about the witnesses and the experiencers, those who have seen it with their own eyes, those who believe they've been taken on board craft, who have been experimented on. I mean, I know those are wild claims, and they certainly do require the extraordinary evidence that I mentioned earlier in order for these extraordinary claims to, you know, actually be weighed out. And I'm just sad in the state of affairs that we are, that both the debrief and Ms. Kane and Mr. Blumenthal, and also those involved at, you know, News Nation, who haven't seen any proof to go on, are continuing to put stories out there. Even days now after the incident, they're putting follow-ups out there, and they're having people who, you know, were not directly involved in the situation, and then you know, making that go viral. I know Ms. Vargas, who is the show that this interview initially appeared on, her whole thing is we're giving you more reason to trust us every night. And I don't think that this gives us more reason to trust. I think it gives us more reason to be, skeptical of any of these claims that would be made by Mr. Grush or by any other individuals, quite frankly, in the future, who might say something at Dr. Greer's event, or who at another time and place might come forward. We just can't buy it hook, line, and sinker.
Agreed, and I actually commented on that last night about the, might just be the intro to that Newsmax show, but, you know, giving you a reason to trust us. And again, it's very psyop-y, but I don't like to use that word either, because I think that's almost psyop-y. There's just so much. I actually have the clip of Leslie saying that the red flags don't really mean much. I want to play that for you real quick.
In the New York Times dating back to 2017.
He has the credentials, but there's no documents
that he's handed over. There's no pictures. And as a journalist, you want to see documents, you want to see pictures. Does that raise a red flag?
Not at all, Brian. I mean, you mean documents that actually describe the craft?
Correct,
that,
yeah, like government documents, or to be able to see it for ourselves.
Of course, don't we all want that? And the problem with that is all of that information is classified. You know, as we said in the story, everything that Grush told Congress and told the Inspector General of both the IC, the Intelligence Community Inspector General, and the Department of Defense Inspector General, all of that information is classified.
So if he's talking about classified information and it's still classified, but he showed it to some people, you know, whatever that is. But then he also said in this story, Jeremy, that a lot of the stuff was all secondhand accounts. There's a lot of inconsistencies. And also, as a journalist, if that is the case, and you write about the story anyway, there should be a very big disclaimer that says we have not seen any evidence of this. We are only reporting what someone who we believe has credentials is telling us. That's what should be done if you're a real reporter, as far as I'm concerned. Big disclaimer.
Well, absolutely. It should come with a disclaimer. And I think we should be skeptical, as I said, of reports like this. But apparently there's going to be another hearing, which I guess is a good thing. That it'll get some more national press, but we've got to be careful with how much press we're getting on this subject, Ryan. I mean, I hate to sound like a pessimist, but if we're getting the wrong kind of press, if the information that we're putting out there, because there are so many credible witnesses who we could bring forward, we could have them all Zoom, or we could bring them on the government's dime all to the same location, and we could give them all their 15 minutes of fame. Although I suspect that the reason that that hasn't happened is because they might be singing a different tune than the official government narrative, which is deny, deny, deny.
Well, and also you have to think about motivation. I mean, what motivation does any branch of the federal government have in acknowledging the existence of these things as more than just objects that can defy the laws of physics? If they actually did know something, if some branch of government, some individual knew something, what motivation do they have? It actually, I think it feels like the only motivation any government agency would have who has information on this are the shady intelligence agencies, the shady intelligence community, and they don't have, they don't do anything except disinform and misinform the public on matters and foreign governments on matters, as a base to what they were. I mean, the CIA and the NSA were created after a lot of these UFO crashes and cases to begin with. That's what they were created to do. Literal mind control, literal information dissemination, using information to nudge people in a certain direction, population control. That's what the NSA and the CIA are all about. So if anybody has information that can confirm what a lot of the ufologists want to believe, then I believe myself that what that information is going to be is going to inherently be disinformation, because they want to use their power to control whatever narrative it is. And that's why I don't think we can put much trust or faith at all in any branch or any kind of government. And I don't think that's going to change the playground anyway. If the government, whatever that is, a branch of government, the whole government just says, the president says, yeah, we have aliens. We're in contact with aliens. Because regardless, Jeremy, people are still going to choose not to believe it. It'll still be a battle and a fight and a debate, etc. Anyway, we are out of time. Jeremy, thank you so much. Your show comes on right before Clyde Lewis, Ground Zero Radio, and of course, your website. Please give us all that information quickly.
Yeah, it's ParanormalRadio.com. Social media links are there. I don't do YouTube, but I do everything else.
All right, ParanormalRadio.com. Jeremy, thank you so much.
Ryan, it's a pleasure.
It absolutely is, and I will look forward to talking to you on your show hopefully next week. We'll have a good conversation.
I'd love to have you on. We'll talk about this again.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, Jeremy Scott, our guest, I'm Ryan Gable. This is The Secret Teachings. Stay safe, stay informed, stay healthy. Ask as many questions as you can. You know, and when you listen to this show, I hope that you always come away with the show disagreeing with some of the things that I said. If you disagree with everything, it doesn't really get us anywhere. I hope you disagree with some things. That's why I told people at Contact in the Desert, they bought the book, Occult Arcana or something like that, Technological Elixir, and I said, hey, I hope you email me and tell me what you liked, but more importantly, what did you dislike? Like, tell me what you disagreed with. I want to hear your perspective. I hope that you get that out of this show. Again, I'm Ryan Gable. This is The Secret Teachings. rdgable@yahoo.com is our email. That's rdgable@yahoo.com. And of course, you can subscribe at aftermath.media for the ad-free shows. My books are available at www.thesecretteachings.info. We'll talk to you on the next broadcast. I think we have Charlie Robinson coming up this week, so stay tuned for that.